taught you this day was an understanding of the fact that you are omnipotent. Nothing too difficult for you to do. And we stand as representatives of our nation at such a critical moment where our true independence is about to be negotiated. And we ask, O God, for heaven's intervention in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise on the behalf of your people. Bring deliverance just like you have promised. Cause your face again to shine upon our land. And bring to pass the many promises that you have made unto our ancestors. We make demands on heaven that the labors of our heroes past shall never be in vain. Amen. Come to our aid. Kill and make alive. Amen. Until that which you have ordained finds expression. Amen. Who is mortal man to stand before you? Who can contend with your wisdom? Surely it is written that they shall gather. Because their gathering doesn't have the signature of Yahweh. Let them scatter in many directions. In the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you. Help us. Cause your face to shine on us. Oh, be gracious unto us, oh God. In the name of Jesus we are praying. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. We came to pray because our independence as a nation is about to be negotiated. So that we can secure the hand of God and secure His commitment to us at such a time as this. Hallelujah. Turn your Bible with me quickly to the book of Genesis chapter 4. Amen. I say amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 4. Glory to God. You know, after the fall of man, maybe I need to show you a few scriptures before I go to Genesis chapter 4. I need to show you how God ordained that man will operate on it. And Jesus was the perfect example of God's perspective of what a man is. And we see in the book of John chapter 5, if you can turn to John 5 before we come to Genesis chapter 4. Hallelujah. John chapter 5. From verse 19, we begin to see the secrets of the Lord Jesus. John 5, verse 19. And then Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also the Son doeth the Son likewise. Next verse. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, that he will and he will show him greater works than this, that ye may marvel. There is an interaction between earth and heaven. Now the way the Son operates is that he peeps into heaven, he finds out what his Father is doing. He tries to find out the policy that heaven has established, and then he becomes a machinery, an infrastructure that brings about the fulfillment of that policy. And we also see in the next verse the commitment of the Father to the Son. And the reason why the father will not but show the son the things he's doing is because the father loves the son. And we see some form of dynamics that is occasioned by affection. So if the son does not get to see the father, he cannot operate maximally. He'll be operating in dissociation from the father. And that's not how man was designed to operate. So it means that man cannot function outside of an open heaven. Right? Because you need to see what heaven is doing and then you align. This realm is derived from the invisible realm. And so the Bible says that thy will be done on earth the same way it is done in the very heavens. If we are going to implement the will of God on earth just like it is done in heaven, we must have a means by which we can peep into heaven to understand what is going on there. You see, the Bible says that the Son can do nothing of himself. What he does are the things he sees the Father do. Hallelujah. So that's how the purposes of God are implemented upon the face of the earth. There must be a man that has the capacity to peep into heaven, to understand the policies of heaven, the dynamics of heaven, the things that God intends to do, and then such a person now presents himself as a vessel to be equipped with grace. And embedded in that grace is the statutory wisdom required for the implementation of the plans of God. You'll notice in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, when Peter went to the housetop to pray, and then suddenly there was a disclosure of heaven's policy. A meeting had been held in heaven. And in that meeting, it was an elaborate meeting. The conclusion of the meeting was that the time had come for the gospel to enter into the territory of the Gentiles. And now, Peter was going to pray upstairs. And while Peter was praying, suddenly there was a strange kind of vision. Peter used to see visions before that day, but the vision that he had was an emergency. And that vision captured the policy direction of heaven as at that time. And Peter was given access into what heaven wanted to do. And the summary of the vision that he had received was that it was time for the Gentiles to be visited. But you see, the language that God used to communicate to Peter was consistent with several philosophies in Jewish theology. And when the man saw the net, the sheet that was descending from heaven, so many kind of creatures were in it, and God was commanding him, kill, and it is time to enter into the harvest of the Gentiles. He knew it was God that was revealing it. He knew it was God that was speaking. Are you still with me? He was not in doubt whether the revelation came from God at all. But we had a challenge. Even though he knew it was God that was doing it, he said, not so, Lord. It means that God could not implement that policy with Peter. That was why God went in search of a functionary that will stand to administer the new, the present revelation position of the Spirit. And that document captures the fact that God and heaven was willing to deploy resources to take the kingdom to the Gentiles. You see, Peter constituted a disconnect with heaven's reality. But the way Jesus operated was that he could not do anything of himself. He didn't have an agenda. So if it were Jesus, Jesus would not have said, not so, Lord, because he doesn't have an agenda. But obviously, Peter had a perspective, an agenda that was bogus enough to become an idol, and it was going to stand in the way of what God wanted to do. Now, I'm just trying to show you how man was designed to function. And so in the Garden of Eden, after that man had declared independence against God, the resultant effect of that was that heavens were sealed. The heavens were sealed. The possibility of humankind to peep into heaven to know the agenda of God, that which God wants to implement upon the face of the earth, no longer existed. We were creatures. Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me. You are not with me. If you are with me, say amen. Amen. By God's design, we were ordained to peep into heaven. And I need to tell you this. One glimpse of heaven is not sufficient for you to understand the humongous perspective of God's plan for your life. You need several peeps, glimpses, several glances of heaven. You need several insights into heaven. There are some points when you have administered the previous vision, you will need another one. So, you see, you cannot operate effectively without having access to heaven's perspective. But, you see, unfortunately for Adam, what he did was that he declared independence against God, because he became a victim of Satan's deception. Satan was selling a theology to him, selling a philosophy to him, that if you become matured, you will find out that you are the God that you are looking for. Meanwhile, man was created as a derived entity. And there is nothing that God will give to you as a human, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That you don't need God to operate. That's how we're designed. We're designed to be dependent. And just in case you say, oh, I don't want to serve God, I want to live my life. That state of wanting to live your life is also service to the devil, because man was created to be dependent. If you deny God, you will still serve the devil, because that's the orientation. We are dependent entities. And so it came to pass that Adam decided to declare independence against God, and that created what we call a bronze ceiling, such that he could no longer contact heaven. The only civilization that was open to him was earthbound. Hallelujah. So he was measured in time and space, in age and experience. If we had time, I would have taken you after this point to the book of Job, and I would have shown you how earthbound mortals operated by all diverse kinds of philosophy, based on research, based on human experience, based on human merit, and how all of that was a human effort, a manifestation of human effort to sustain existence in a bronze environment where they did not have access to the policies of heaven. They could not fulfill that which heaven wanted them to fulfill. They could no longer function according to the script that was written concerning them. It was a sorry state of possibility that Adam released us into because of rebellion. Now, it came to pass in the book of Genesis chapter 4, having judged the attendant limitations that were sustained around separation from God, some people began an initiative like an exodus, a journey back to the God that they left. And this initiative is captured in the book of Genesis chapter 4. Turn with me quickly. I'm trying to show you a civilization that was gradually evolving. Gradually evolving. As at Genesis chapter 4, from verse 20. Are you with me? I don't know where we'll start from now. It's long. All right, let's start from verse 16. The real lecture is from verse 16, but I don't know if we have time to cover that. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, not Genesis 16, 4. Right? So these guys, I want to show you, because what you are going to see from verse 16 is life on earth apart from a link to heaven. They were trying to manage that bronze civilization. There was a bronze ceiling that separated the earth from the heavens because of the disobedience of man. So the civilization, the technology that was ongoing in the heavens, the earth could no longer access it. Alright? Because of that rebellion. However, man was trying to prove to himself that he was sufficient in himself. So he began to put structures in place in order for him to generate a possibility of living apart from God. This was an experiment. Alright? So in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, and Cain, I hope you know Cain. You still remember Cain?
Yes, sir.
Now Cain, oh my. Okay, let me teach now. Listen. You will know this creature called Lucifer. That creature. You see, remember him? He attempted something in heaven. It was an act of rebellion. It affected the quadrant of angels. Alright? And his ambition, his manifesto, was revealed in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. The agenda he had secretly in his heart. And part of the agenda was that he wanted to be God. But unfortunately, the vision that he had, there was no space for him to implement it in heaven. Because before he came to power, as he aspired, he met difficulties, he met challenges. Hallelujah. He did not have anywhere to express the vision that he had captured in his heart. Excuse me. Why did Jesus refer to Satan as the prince of this world? The prince. The prince of this world. Why didn't Jesus call him the king of this world? Why prince? He said, the prince of this world cometh, and he found nothing in me. You see, a prince has authority. Right? But the only thing the prince doesn't have is territory. So he has authority, but he has what? No territory. Do you still remember when the devil, when there was war in heaven, the Bible says there was no place found. So the devil did not have a place to implement the vision that he had. He has authority, but he doesn't have where to implement his vision. And that's why the Bible says give Satan no place. Because if you give him a place, that will become the island. He will set his foot and begin to implement the vision that he has in his heart. Satan had no place to implement that vision in the heavens, and was cast down into the earth. Is that true? Alright. So, in the earth, he did not find adequate resistance to truncate the possibility of the implementation of that vision. And it happens to be that Cain became the apostle, first messenger, first icon of Satan that was dispatched. And the vision that Cain was trying to achieve was actually the implementation of that which Satan tried to do in heaven. That there was no space for him in heaven to implement. So he now found a partner upon the face of the earth. And working with this partner now, he wants to implement what he has in mind. So if you want to know what the devil had in mind, let us see what the civilization of Cain provided. Are we there? Alright. So this is the grand plan of Satan. And now Satan has a partner. And through this partner, he wants to implement the thing he wanted to do in heaven that he did not find place. So it means that he has found place on earth. Because of the alignment of man, there is now place for him. Which was a commodity he did not have before this time. So when we look at Cain, don't just look at Cain. Look at Cain in the eyes of Satan trying to implement his program. Alright, this is the beginning. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. You see? Hallelujah. The way God designed it was that the habitat for fish is water. How many of you have been, you have had the privilege of taking fish out of water and then watch how the fish struggles? That's the habitat matter. It's not as if the fish is sick, but the fish is apart from this God-ordained habitat. So, if you plant a tree and you decide to uproot it from the ground, the roots are no longer touching the habitat. The tree will not dry up instantly just because it was uprooted. Then it is looking for a possibility where the root might be restored. But if it's perpetual state is a state of disconnect from his habitat, then evidences of the loss of life will begin to manifest. Just like God created fish, and the habitat for fish was water. He created plants, and he put them into the soil. Hallelujah. He created man, And who knows what the habitat for man is? What? Don't forget that Eden was an embassy. Don't forget that. Eden was a part of heaven that was manifest on earth. It's an environment much more than it is a location. If you walk to the U.S. embassy in Abuja and you take a gun, because people are carrying guns everywhere these days, but just in case you trespass into U.S. embassy and then you bring out the things you do normally, you try to do it there, unknown to you, diplomatically, that place you were standing was actually U.S. soil. And the implication of your actions cannot be interpreted by the convoluted constitution of Nigeria. They will have to take you on a trip above seas and lands for you to understand the implication of what you did, because you trespass environment. Are you with me? Now, the habitat for man is Eden. And Eden, just like I said, is much more of an environment than it is a location. Because when we go to the book, you thought I was just trying to speak English. When you go to the book of Joel, the Bible says that the land is like the garden of Eden. It means that that same environment of Eden will be synthesized again. The land is like what? The garden of Eden before them, and behind them a flame burning. It's more of an environment than it is a location. And that's why you might travel, and scientists, archaeologists, geographers, historians might make many trips in search of the Eden of Adam. And it will be very difficult to locate after the first wobble. You know that flood, the flood of Noah, was a wobble. That's the name in geography. So for you to find that location will be very difficult for you. However, there was something that made that location what it was. And it was the presence of God. Because it was an embassy. What God raised Adam to do was that Adam was supposed to be a high commissioner or an ambassador. Well, let's leave that. Hallelujah. So the environment for man is Eden, is the presence of God. Hallelujah. Now, if you go and study your Bible, you will find out there are several natural reactions that take place when you find yourself in the presence of God. One of the natural things, results of being in the presence of God, is that you have joy unspeakable. There is a joy you cannot describe. The Bible says that that joy is full of glory. Hallelujah. It's a joy what? Unspeakable. It is full of glory. There are many times we finished, we held meetings here, particularly on the last day of the meeting. That dimension, Eden, comes, is synthesized. And even people that came weeping, they just finished burial. They came back from burial. When you come into that environment, you will not, the power of that burial, the memory of the dead, can no longer hold your soul. You break into joy unspeakable. It is not because you were happy. It's the environment that occasioned it. Hallelujah. The Bible speaks about a city, and it says that the streams thereof, it means that the waters, if just in case you see something that looks like water in that city, it's not for drinking. Because the Bible says that the streams thereof make it glad. The city of God. The water, you see something like water, they say, oh boy, see water. No, it's not for drinking. That stream makes glad the city of God. Whenever you come into the place where that stream is, it makes glad, joy unspeakable, full of glory.
is one of the evidences of the fact that you have entered into your habitat. And just in case you are gloomy and you have been a victim of depression for a very long time, and many times you considered the possibility of suicide, it is an evidence of the fact that you have been living too far from Eden. Are you with me? It's also worthy of note that as humankind began to depart from Eden, our life expectancy began to reduce. You notice men like Methuselah, men like Adam, they lived for 900 and something years. Oh, you are not with me. They lived for what? 900 and something years. Alright? Then as we began to move further away from Eden, our habitat, the life expectancy began to reduce. And if you go to Lagos, Lagos is farther away from Eden than Makurdi. In Lagos, life expectancy now is 54 years. If you see a man of 59 years in Lagos, he's an old man. May the Lord give you understanding. Because when you take a creature outside of his habitat, what happens? He begins to die. The Bible says, and Cain went out of what? Of the presence of God. That is supposed to be his habitat. That is supposed to be where he will have full capacity, full possibility. He departs from the presence of God. Because there's a new civilization that he has applied to partner with Satan to implement upon the face of the earth. So his own civilization doesn't need that original habitat. He migrated as far as he could get from the presence of God. Yes. And then he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east side of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. That means he's now trying to build a system. He's trying to build a civilization. But you must understand the basic character. Are you here? Oh my. You must understand the basic character of everything that Cain is building is that he had to depart from the presence of God to do it. Don't forget that. You get that? All right. So he's building a city now. This city that he's building is a city that is established upon rebellion. It's established upon, it's not close to the presence of God. So this city will not function by the principles of God. This civilization will not be sustained by the ideology, the philosophy of God. A new kind of philosophy will be that which will drive this city. Bear that in mind, okay? Alright, so let's see verse 18. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. Are you with me? You still remember the city? It's a city that was built apart from God. The principles of God don't fly here. But it took how many generations? It took 4 generations from Cain for the first polygamist to arise. Because Lamech was the first man that married 2 women. Now you are not here. See. May the Lord bring you back here. Now, in this city, anything goes. But it took 4 generations before another pioneer came. And he pioneered what? Polygamy. As lawless as this city is, for it to come into polygamy, it took how many generations? 4 generations. Can we go now? And Lamech took unto him 2 wives. That's, he has pioneered something fresh. Before him, it was 1 man, 1 wife. And Adam did not create, God did not create Adam and Steve. It was what? Adam and Eve. Will the Lord give you understanding? And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. That word Ada in Hebrew, are you here? It is from that, the Hebrew word derived from Ada, that we got the word adornment. I need to tell you a little bit about Ada. Hallelujah. I went to Abuja. I was looking for a t-shirt to buy. I saw a blue t-shirt and I bought it. So when I wore it the next day, people began to hail me that I was a fan of Chelsea. In fact, I used that t-shirt in a radio studio to preach the gospel, and I was snapped. And then they put it on Facebook. And somebody now wrote, the comment the person made was, "Now I am so happy that my pastor is a Chelsea fan." Meanwhile, I see them wear Jesse doing something on the field like this. I don't know who is Jesse, who is. But you see, that kind of thing that will make so many people interested in the soccer like that is Ada. There is an attraction. Are you with me? There's an attraction that Ada has that he can steal your soul and give your soul a new emphasis. I don't have time. Not today. Let's leave that. The name of the first wife was what? Ada. Name of the second wife was what? Zillah. So let's leave Ada. When we have time, we'll work on that. Because a lot of people are slaves to Ada. Because Ada, and as attractive and seductive as Ada was, we was not sufficient to trap Lamech. Well, the Lord will help. It was not sufficient. Lamech still went and located Zillah. But it took 4 generations for a man to summon the courage in a lawless town for him to break a law that he has seen somewhere else. Do you realize that a man that has encountered God before, it doesn't matter how far you stray, you will come back. You will come back. You will come back. You will come back. Let me stop there. You will come back. It's only people that never touch God. When he's going, he believes that this is the in thing. But a man that touched God before, the memory of that world, that reality, it keeps coming back. And so these guys had left a place that had a reference in God. And they were now trying to establish a new civilization. It took them 4 generations to pioneer polygamy. And the Bible says, "And Ada bare Jabbar." Take note. Don't forget. This civilization, there's no God in it. Is that clear? Okay, so Ada bore what? Jabbar. He was the father of such that dwell in tents, and of such that have cattle. It was Jabbar that created employment. Stay with me. Oh, okay, Jabbar. I'm seeing something again about Jabbar. Our problems in Tiveland, in Idomaland, began with Jabbar. So this cattle thing is an ancient. We are battling an ancient thing. Jabbar. Guys, God will help us. Well, maybe when the prophet comes, he will deal with ancient. He knows how to handle ancient things. Now, this guy was Jabbar, was the one that pioneered paid employment. Are you with me? Now, in the civilization that they left,
You are not here. Because I want to touch something very sensitive. And I want to balance it properly. That guy pioneered paid employment. He was the one that started rearing cattle. So that he could sell it and get money. So, this is a personal sustenance plan. Are you with me? Remember, anything we discover here, we need to put a signature on it. Personal sustenance plan apart from God. Don't forget that. Now, I'm not saying that having a job is bad. But it's very easy for your job to become your God. It's very easy for you to become a descendant of Jabbar. And that job that you are doing now constitutes, meanwhile, in the original ecosystem, it is God that does the providing. And everybody has to depend on God for provision. But this man now has left God and he has devised a way of sustenance apart from God. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? I'm not saying your job is bad. I'm just saying make sure that you know the difference between your work and your job. Because your purpose and your destiny began, was set in motion even before you were formed in your mother's womb. Is that true? So that's your work. And you are supposed to do your work on your job. The reason why you are existing is because of your work. You find men like Daniel. He was a prime minister. He was a highly placed personnel in Babylon. You know, someone that is so highly placed will have a very buoyant office. But Daniel's desk was by the gate. Because the people of Babylon did not understand Jewish culture. What we call the Senate, what we call the House of Representatives, what we call the State House of Assembly, in the days of Jewish independent dwelling, was established at the gate. That was where decisions were taken. That was where disputes were resolved. In Hebrew culture, the gate was governmental. When you stand at the gate and pass a decree, it will affect the city. But in Babylon, they did not have that culture. And so, Daniel and his friends infiltrated Babylon. And they set up circuits within Babylon that mirrored the dimension of legislation that existed in Israeli territory. And Daniel's place in that mix was where? By the gate. Daniel was very effective in his administrative job for the kingdom. He was doing his work, his job well. But his job never blinded him to what? To his work. Okay, let me leave you there. If you understand it to that point, you already... Jabbar devised employment apart from God so that people can be sustained in the works of their hands and not need to desire God's support. So this job is the kind of job that was designed for self-support. Who pioneered it? Jabbar. Okay. Second, his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such that handled the harp and the organ. Now this guy manufactured music. Not the normal musical, because music existed before this guy. Oh, I know you don't know. I don't have time. That's the challenge. I would have shown you how God created the visible realm from the book of Job, chapter 7. There were angels that sang into the materials that were used for building. Yes. Music is part of the fabric that was used for creation in the physical world. Doesn't it touch you how men like Michael Jackson had so much influence? I don't want to go into all of them. When Michael Jackson died, they say apart from Jesus Christ,
Michael Jackson is the next most popular man. How did he do that? The Bible recorded that there was a time when the sons of God, they sang together. The sons of God. They did what? They sang. That was when the diameter of the earth was discovered. When God fastened the diameter of this earth together. The sons of God, they were doing what? Singing. They sang into the fabric of everything that was used for creation. And that's why when you clap your hand, sound will come out. You stamp your feet, sound will come out. You knock concrete, sound will come out. You knock a drum, sound will come out. You slap somebody. It's coming out because it was put in. So I'm just trying to tell you that Jubal was not the first musician. The entire realm was fabricated with sound. But this man, how many of you have had this experience? You woke up in the morning and the Holy Ghost was making music inside of you. Yeah, you have seen that before. That is the original way God designed us to be entertained. But when you lose the presence of God, He wants to keep that kind of action going. Jubal now develop. Huh? Develop what? you are not. Jubal. He now did what? He developed a musical instrument to replace the spiritual song, the song of songs, the singer whose voice echoes from eternity. To blot him out forever, that we don't need him, so we have designed. So I'm not saying that musical instruments are bad, I'm just saying Jubal, he developed his own as a replacement for the song of songs. Are you with me? Next. Meanwhile, all of these things that are happening is an attempt for humankind to develop a kind of existence that could be sustained apart from God. That's all. That's what this is about. Yes, what's the tenth guy there? Tubal-Cain. Go to the next. Tubal-Cain. And Zillah, the other wife, also bear what? Tubal-Cain. Tubal-Cain was the first Boko Haram personnel. Tubal-Cain was the one that fabricated a weapon. The first time a weapon was fabricated among men, it was by who? Tubal-Cain. Now, my question is, who was Tubal-Cain preparing to defend himself from? You see, the insecurity he felt was inside. He thought it was outside. He went and he manufactured. Are you seeing all that humankind is doing, trying to sustain an existence apart from God? Trying to manage the circumstances and the woe that Adam created in his rebellion. And trying to pretend that this is all that life is about. And there were some people in that generation that refused to pretend. They were trying to find the original thing. Instead of settling in all what human beings have fabricated as substitutes that will hold us for a season when the true presence of God was no longer present. And in the book, next verse now. Next verse, quickly. Oh my. Alright. As I round up. Verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare son and called his name Seth. Why? For God, said she, has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. That statement is loaded, but we will not touch it today. For God, she said, has appointed me another seed. Are you with me? Instead of Abel, whom Cain slew, another seed. And Abel, are you with me?
I don't have time to tell you about Abel. Because Abel was in Adam's image and his likeness. The things that Adam liked were the things that Abel liked. It was Cain that was a strange entity. And that's why he found compatibility with the devil. The mourning for Abel's death never ended. Because a gap, a void was created. And it came to pass when Eve delivered again, she spoke those words. Another seed has God appointed me in place of what? Abel, whom Cain slew. Next verse. And when Cain came back, when Seth came, to him there was born a son, and he called the name Enos. This is a new part of the family tree now. Enos. In the time when Enos was born, the dissatisfaction of the futility of life apart from God hit the earth in the days when Enos was born. A new culture began on earth that never existed before. It was in those days that men began to call upon the Lord. Oh, I don't have time. I am a candy. They were not satisfied with the instruments of Jubal. They could not be sustained by the job opportunities that Jubal provided. And they were well aware that Tubal Cain's instruments of mass destruction could not sustain them in the day of trouble. And then they decided upon an exodus. Let's go find what we lost. And that took place when Enos came, first descendant of Seth, and men began what? To call upon the name of the Lord. That's where that civilization started, that culture. By the time we move two chapters from here, are you with me? So the culture of prayer, two chapters from here, had survived like 400 years. Go to Genesis chapter 6 as I round up. Genesis 6 verse 8. When you move two chapters from Genesis 4:25, you will find a man called Enoch. Oh, how I wish we continued in the family tree to show you the time when Enoch was born. The things that happened. It's as if they went to consult an oracle before they gave him that name. You can check. It's as if they went to consult an oracle. Because when he was now born, they made a statement. They said, now this one has come to help us from all our toil. How did they know? And it was the year that Enoch was born. Noah was born. That was the year that Methuselah died. I don't want to take you back, but if I take you to the book of Luke, I will show you that prophets existed since the world began. And the first one was Methuselah. But we don't have time to establish that now. And Enoch, as they were praying and calling upon the name of the Lord, 400 years later, Enoch makes a discovery in the spirit. What did he find? And Enoch found grace. As they were advancing in the world of calling upon the name of the Lord, one among them, he stumbled upon a reality in the spirit. He found what? Let me stop there. The evolution in this tradition has continued since then.
many men had found great things in the presence of God. Many things have been discovered that changed the course of history.
The reason for which this conference was called is so that we can identify with the most noble pioneering initiative of mortal men that discovered the insufficiency in their environment and decided to venture into a search for what was lost, what existed before that they could no longer find, and they began to call upon the name of God. I called my friend to join us because the time for questions are over. Now, what we need are answers. And I believe that God will give us answers in these few days that we are set at His feet. In the days of Seth, men began to call upon the name of the Lord.
Can you lift your voice and begin to worship the name of the Lord? Lift your voice and begin to worship the name of the Lord.